This is Tuesday, August 4th, 2015. The WoW expansion hype train is full steam ahead, Final Boss doubles down on big shows, and I talk to the hosts of the Epic Fail podcast before a successful 25th episode. This is episode 155.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, warlords and Pandaren, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Ro, and thanks as always for listening. Well, you know what that means. Here is the rolling restart. Last week on the show, I was just simply optimistic that we'd get a WoW expansion announcement at Gamescom. Well, fast forward to one day after the show's posted, and sure enough, there's the announcement of the announcement. Have you noticed that Blizzard really loves to do that lately? Of course, the obvious next step in the discussion is, what is the next expansion? I mean, that's a pretty big deal, isn't it? Some say it's going to be Eye of Ashara. It's gotta be. We've seen pictures of the login screen for it and everything. No. Those are just some well-crafted fakes, and there's plenty of that going around the internet. Now, plenty of people remember the trademark filed for Eye of Ashara last year, but let's think about this. And by think about this, I mean I'm going to blatantly rip off a couple of points that Crow, a writer from BlizzPro, made about this possibility. If Eye of Ashara was going to be the next WoW expansion, it would mean one of two things. First off, it could mean it's an underwater expansion, and when you consider all the complaints that I've seen and heard about the Vashir Zone and Cataclysm, you have to think it's pretty unlikely we'd return to that kind of environment on a big scale for a whole expansion. Perhaps maybe one underwater zone coming back isn't the end of the world of Warcraft, but still, I think people would complain about even one zone. The other theory is that in this kind of expansion, maybe Ashara and the Naga would do some crazy mojo and raise up new land masses. Okay, new land masses appearing out of the sea isn't necessarily a new concept for WoW, Pandaria says hi. But if the Naga were a key part of the expansion, wouldn't they be handicapping themselves by fighting on land when they are just simply much better warriors in their own native underwater environment? But folks, that's not even the big thing. The trademark that was supposedly filed in 2014, it doesn't even exist right now. Eye of Ashara is not a registered trademark. It hasn't been, and unless something happens in the next 48 hours, it's not going to be the name of the next expansion for WoW. Now, I welcome anyone to show me a link to something that's not just an image about the trademark. There just isn't any actual legitimate current registered trademark information out there for Eye of Ashara at the time of this recording. I just had to say that to cover my rear in case something does pop up, right? So, if it's not Ashara, what is it? Is it the Dark Prophet? Is it the Council of Glades? Is it Wrath of the Lich King 2, Bolvar's Boogaloo? I don't have the answer for that one, and quite frankly, I'm kinda happy about that. Being kept in the dark this long isn't something that's easy to pull off in this age of internet leaks and derailed hype train rumors. There is one important thing to keep in mind, though. All this hype is well and good, but you can't judge a book by its cover, and we can't judge an expansion by its name. For me personally, Mists of Pandaria was far more fascinating and enjoyable than I expected it to be. That is, if you don't count the year of Siege of Orgrimmar. Warlords of Draenor had me incredibly hyped from the very beginning, until the story and some of the planned pieces of content for it just ended up feeling rushed and, well, hacked to pieces. So it's alright to be excited about what's next for WoW. I'm not saying don't be hyped, that's entirely natural, but let's try not to judge if it's going to be awesome or a complete failure when we simply find out what the name and the initial features that are planned for it are going to be. After all, give it a few months, and, well,
times change.
Yeah! Been a while since I used that one. Okay, so oddly enough, there really hasn't been a ton of news outside of the upcoming Gamescom announcement, so I'm not going to try and force an 80-second news segment here. I do want to take a moment to talk about arguably the second largest bit of WoW news this past week, though. Last Friday was Micah Whipple's final day of working at Blizzard. Of course, he's been better known to most as Community Manager Bashiok. While I can't say I know him on a very personal level, I still remember meeting him almost 2 years ago at my very first BlizzCon. He was one of the first Blizzard employees I had a chance to shake hands with in person, and honestly, he was one of the nicest people I met, mustache and all. The whole community team is full of great people, and Bashiok is definitely going to be missed by them and countless players, and I wish Micah the best of luck in the journey ahead of him. I'll be back with the Epic Fail podcast after the overly dramatic news with Hunts the Wind.
Death of well-known lion felt even in Azeroth. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. You'd have to be living under a boulder even bigger than the kind ogres throw to not have heard about the killing of Cecil, a closely studied and popular Zimbabwean lion, at the hands of an American trophy hunter. Outrage in the real world has been tremendous, and reports are now coming in that his death has had Azerothian impacts as well. Darkmoon Fair organizers report a massive surge in hunters coming through the gates with lion pets renamed to honor Cecil and wearing tabards saying, "He's my pet, not my quarry." Local officials in the Northern Barrens tell us that people are leaving gifts of meat, catnip, and large stuffed toys at the trees of Humar the Pride Lord and Echiaki. But the most interesting and surprisingly self-aware reaction came from Uber hunter Hemet Nessingwary. Quote, "As Azeroth's most famous big game hunter, I've killed millions of beasts, but in reality, they're just collections of pixels. In the real world, I can understand hunting for food, for herd management, for protection. But killing a magnificent beast doing you no harm solely for the challenge and pleasure of it? I had hoped that humanity had evolved past that sort of thing." Unquote. On a personal note, as a hunter myself, all I can say is that if you've lost Hemet Nessingwary, perhaps it's time to find a new, less destructive hobby. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
In the several years that I've listened to podcasts for World of Warcraft and other Blizzard games, I've heard many that were a success and a few that weren't. Today, there is only one podcast, however, that I can call an epic fail, but that's because the name of the show is the Epic Fail Podcast. Far from being a failure, this podcast is just days away from its 25th episode, and I'm happy to welcome Draven, Charlotte, and Theory to the show to talk all about it. How are you three doing?
Doing well.
Doing pretty good.
Been pretty good here, too.
Well, thank you three for being on. It's been a while since we last talked. I was on one of your first episodes. I think I was your first guest, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, episode 3.
Yep, and you guys have come a long way since then. I mean, back then, you weren't doing live streaming, you weren't doing video and everything, and I just watched your most recent episode, and you've got YouTube video clips playing during your show, and you've got the whole overlay and everything like that. So you guys have come a long way in a relatively short amount of time, so I'm really happy to see that growth. Draven, how about you talk a little bit about the origin of the Epic Fail podcast and just how it all came to be?
Well, honestly, I've been thinking about doing some kind of a podcast thing since mid-Wrath. My original idea, and I know Theory knows about this, was a show called Confessions of an Achievement Horde, because I like to play on words.
Right.
And because I started off Horde, and now obviously I'm CTR. But, and it was basically just, you know, go through, talk about some achievements and stuff like that. Unfortunately, my computer at the time would not have been able to do any of that kind of stuff. So I just kind of backburnered it. And, you know, after a while, I was like, okay, that's not going to happen. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it.
What was the motivation behind naming the show Epic Fail? That's not a name I would... It's not the first name that would come to the top of my mind.
Well, Draven had most of the... he came up with the idea for Epic Fail, but I think it's cute because everybody has one of their moments where they just, you know, absolutely blunder something so horrible that it's funny afterwards. I think we all have those moments in the game sometimes. At least I do. So... that's pretty much it.
Well, it started off, I knew I wanted to do every Blizzard game news, that kind of thing, because at that point we were kind of in a low spot for WoW news. And other than that, Theory and I, and then Vlad and Lat, who, you know, they're taking hiatuses and stuff like that, we were tossing names back and forth, And I think it was Theory who actually came up with Epic Fail as kind of a satire name. And because we had like seven names at one point and we were narrowing it down. And then he's like, what about Epic Fail? And I was like, I don't know. And then it kind of grew on me.
Theory, can you talk a little bit about the format of the show nowadays? Just what do you guys talk about, and just kind of take us through a typical show?
Absolutely. I mean, our shows are very fluid, where we kind of talk about what's going on that week, as far as, you know, maybe the week before. What news came out, you know, what new items were released, what new heroes are available and heroes, that kind of thing. So it really kind of changes every week. The one thing that really seems to be a staple is we all, you know, even including the guys that are on hiatus, are big WoW players. So we do have a tendency to spend a lot of time on WoW, but we definitely are branching into some more of the other games. We spent a lot of time on Overwatch, for example. We're all greatly anticipating that one coming out soon, hopefully. But it changes every week. And one of the things that we also do is we try to keep it fresh and do things a little bit differently. And the satire of it's very important, I think, as well, which is why I think the name fits.
What would you say is one of the most distinguishing features about Epic Fail that kind of sets it apart from the majority of other Blizzard podcasts and WoW podcasts out there?
Among other things, I would say us living up to the name every single week. and by that, I'm going to say mostly me and my horrible... The final show is usually edited fairly heavily due to some kind of a tech issue that I thought was fixed the week before.
Charlotte, I guess we know that the podcast covers all Blizzard games, but in your opinion, who would you say the show is designed for? Like, who do you think will get the most out of Epic Fail?
Chances are, because we do spend a lot of our time talking about WoW, definitely people interested in the WoW goings-on. We also are starting to spend a fair amount of time as well talking about heroes and learning how to play that somewhat. Mm-hmm. So I think people who are very familiar with Blizzard games in general, and if they do have an interest in WoW, would definitely enjoy it. But we are branching out to other games as well.
Awesome. Now, aside from WoW, since you guys do cover other Blizzard games, I'm curious for each of you, what do you like to talk about the most during the show when you're not talking about WoW?
One of the things that I often get lost in is trying to figure out what's going to happen next on all the Blizzard games, and putting on the tinfoil hat and, you know, figuring out what makes the most sense from a business standpoint for Blizzard to do as far as release dates and things like that. So I talk about that a lot.
Kind of sticking true to your name there.
Exactly. My own kind of theory crafting, so to speak.
All right. Fair enough. Draven, how about you? What are your favorite non-WoW topics to talk about on the show?
I'm right there with Theory. I like trying to figure out what's coming next. I usually let him run that, though, because it matches his name. Mm-hmm. But other than that, for what's out now, definitely Heroes. But I'm really looking forward to Overwatch. Reaper hype!
And you, Charlotte, how about you?
I like the lore aspect. Mm-hmm. I've been, outside of the game, I've been reading books, and sometimes I have to, like, interject in the podcast and just share what lore I learned that somehow is still relevant, even though I've been reading the books, like, way out of order. But, so I really like lore, and, also, outside of WoW, I really like when, like, Hearthstone is pretty fun to talk about, too, so... that as well.
Well, since you guys have talked a little bit about, you know, theory crafting and predicting the future and stuff, why don't we kind of turn things back to WoW? Because this interview is actually being recorded about 12 hours after we found out that there's going to be an announcement at Gamescom, a pretty big one too. They are breaking tradition, and Blizzard is actually going to announce what the next WoW expansion is at Gamescom. And as people are listening to this show, that moment is literally hours away. So what is the next WoW expansion? We've seen different names tossed around, like Eye of Ashara, the Dark Prophet, Council of Glades. People are joking about Corgis Unleashed again. Some people think it's absolutely none of those. I'm curious what the three of you each think. Draven, what is the next WoW expansion?
I have no idea what it's going to be. I'm personally hoping for something Old God related, because I don't consider the Shah to be Old God. So that means it's been a few expansions as we've, you know, dealt with one of them, because I really don't want a Burning Legion. Everything points that direction, but I'm tired of looking at orcs and that just, and demons now. It's just one of those things that I'm just tired of looking at it. So something different.
Well, like Draven was saying, I the way the storyline goes right now, it all points to Legion related goings on. However, I think the Ashara thing is a way to kind of tie it back to Azeroth. So I think Blizzard has heard loud and clear the grumblings. So I'm kind of hoping they go that way. But at the same time, anything water related really scares me.
Do you have bad memories of Bashir?
Yes, very much so. At the time, I was on a PvP server, and it was not fun trying to PvP underwater.
I am a huge achievement person, as pointed out earlier with the show idea.
How many do you have?
Just shy of 22,000, I think.
Holy cow! And I thought I was crazy having 19,000. Okay.
But it took me 8 months to get Bashir the questing lore master. 8 months. Like, wow. I could only do like 3 or 4 quests at a time. I just hated that zone. It was beautiful to look at. Playing it was not so much.
I actually chose to quest in Bashir over Mount Hyjal with my main when Cataclysm came out. So I had no problem with that achievement, and I actually had to play Hyjal later to finish that whole thing out. I was one of the weird ones. Charlotte, what about you? Next WoW expansion? Do you agree with these two as far as Ashara goes? Is that what you want to see, or where do you think we're going?
I have a feeling it's going to be something like the Burning Legion, but I really don't want more orcs and more of the same. I really wish it would be. I would love to see more of the dragon aspects. Come like more lore for the dragons and stuff. I personally am in love with the dragons, so I don't know. But my only real wish is please no more orcs.
You're not the only one to say that. If you check the forums, Twitter, almost anywhere in the community, I keep on seeing people say no more orcs. I try to, when possible, ask a question related to the name of the show, and you guys just make it too easy when you name the show the Epic Fail Podcast. So, of course, I have to go here. We'll start with Charlotte. Charlotte, what is your most epic fail moment in any Blizzard game?
I think the most epic fail would be the most recent attempt at learning how to play Heroes of the Storm. So, I really hated the tutorial. I really did not appreciate it. So I avoided
Uther
the game
for... Uther
was a
little too much for you?
Uther was yelling at me the whole time. So I logged in last week. I'm like, fine, because, you know, I should play it. And all the viewers on the show are like, you should play it. So I joined the game, and it said play against the AI. So I'm like, okay, perfect. Only I didn't realize the other people were people. And so I kind of kept running in and dying and stuff. So I didn't know that. I didn't make their
game.
Did
you still have chat turned on?
Yes, I did.
I can only
imagine. So I saw the chat.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my most recent big epic fail.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call that a big epic fail, especially when you're just starting to learn the game. And there are going to be a lot of people, I think, who are going to experience that when starting a new game like Heroes of the Storm or any like multiplayer online game, really. I mean, there's new players to WoW that I think run into moments like that all the time. But I can definitely understand that. Draven, how about you? What is your most epic fail moment in any Blizzard game?
Well, unless we're going to count Legacy of the Void beta, in which I got placed against a max level beta profile and they just annihilated me with things I didn't even know was there. I think I lasted a grand total of 3.5 minutes before nice. My base got wiped.
Wow. Did you get cannon rushed or something? Or
no, I don't know what they did, but they had this, because I was walling off my base, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden they had these, I don't think they were zealots, but they just kind of went right through my buildings and everything.
Ooh.
And I was like, how do you defend against that? So, I mean, if we're going to go there, then I would say that. But honestly, probably I would say WoW, and that would be my very first character. And this was back in mid-late Burning Crusade. I made an orc, and somehow before getting to level 5-10, I found my way to the Barrens and got stuck there because I aggroed like half the zone because it was so much higher than me. And I couldn't even get back to my corpse after I died. So I gave up and I was like, I'm just starting a new one. Heck with that.
Now, you didn't have a Hearthstone back then, or you didn't even have enough time to like use a Hearthstone when you respawn?
No, I didn't. I didn't even make it to an inn. I literally logged in and started questing things.
Okay, gotcha. So you didn't even have a Hearthstone to begin with because you hadn't gone to an inn. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'd done other games where you go out and quest and stuff like that, so I was like, oh, this will be no problem. Right. And somehow I made a wrong turn because the map didn't point you to where you want to go. And yeah, it was not a fun day that day.
I can imagine. Theory, how about you? Your most epic fail moment in any Blizzard game?
Well, there's actually been a lot, so it's difficult to choose. But since we were talking about Vashir, I guess I'll go there.
All right.
For the past several expansions, I have usually tried to, you know, have it at midnight or as close to possible when it's launched and go as long as I can until I fall asleep, or, you know, caps or whatever the case may be. But when that one launched, I was there and I was going at it, you know, and like I said, it was a PvP server, and I got to Vashir and I got to the, you know, the underwater boat, and you know, there's like 5 or 6 quests, and since then they fixed this, but you had to do 5 or 6 quests before you're actually like in that zone,
mm-hmm.
You know, and had a flight point and a spawn point for when you died.
Right.
So because it was PvP, I died before I had a area to resin.
Oh.
So then at that point, I tried to run from Stormwind to Vashir. and I was dead on the water, and I still got... I died again. I died
you
again.
You died as a ghost from fatigue.
Yes,
I can say I've done that once, and so yeah, it can happen. So, you can die as a ghost.
Yes, I died from fatigue as a ghost. So that's probably one of my most epic fail moments for sure.
I actually didn't even know about that one.
Yeah.
Yep. That one was rough. That's why I hate Vashir.
I have died from fatigue
as a ghost.
While a ghost. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. I think I'm the only one who has it then.
Well, then at least that's 1 out of 3, and in baseball, 1 out of 3 isn't necessarily all that horrible. well, guys, thank you for sharing those epic fail moments with me, and I'm sure there will be many more moments, epic fail, and not necessarily so, that you will be sharing over the next 25 episodes, and who knows how many more. I do want people to check out your show, see what's all about. So, Draven, if you could tell people where, when, and how they can find the Epic Fail podcast, because you guys do live stream now, right?
Yeah, this week will be the 5th one, I believe. You can find us. We all have our own Twitter, Charlotte_CTR, Theory, That Gang Theory. I'm obviously Draven Dresden. The Twitter is Podcast Epic Fail, because I think the other one was taken somehow and I couldn't get it, but we live stream on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/epicfailpodcast, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong there, Theory.
Yes, that is right.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. We try to be there Friday nights, Saturday morning, about 12:15. And that actually came about because I would really love watching Azeroth Roundtable, and they were ending right about then, so that gave me time to watch it and then get into our show. And then they started running longer, and I'm like, crap.
yeah, Ben and John, they do like to talk, but I do love their show. All right. So that's 12:15-ish. Is that Pacific time, Eastern time?
Oh, yeah. That's Eastern. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, not a problem. All right. Well, once again, Draven, thank you very much. Thank you to Theory and Charlotte for being on the show. And I'm going to go ahead and play a small clip from one of the more recent episodes of the Epic Fail podcast. Thanks for being on, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And I'll be right back with podcast news after this clip from the Epic Fail podcast.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's not word for word what Dark Prophet got leaked is, because that was... No, I don't... There's some stuff there that don't need. If it's underwater, I'm not going to like it. And that's just how that is, unless they've improved their underwater experience. So, I mean...
Yeah, I agree with that completely. The underwater thing was not a great experience. Yeah. Which we talked about recently a little bit. Especially on PvP servers, underwater combat is tricky enough without having to worry about getting ganked while you're trying to complete your quest.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing on a PvP server when you're in an area with flying, because then you can look up. But when you have to look down too, no.
Yeah, exactly. The 360, yeah. I could get ganked from anywhere is kind of an issue, especially... No. You know, if you remember when we were underwater in Bashir, if you were on the bottom, you actually ran faster. But if you were swimming, you were moving slower than normal. So I was like, it was kind of tricky because if you fought down on the bottom, it was not that bad. You actually moved faster than normal.
Yeah.
I hope if that is the way they go, that they stay away from underwater stuff as much as possible.
Yeah. I know, Cuddles, you probably want to know who I'm talking about, but Neptalon, unless we got lied to during Cataclysm, if he's not working with us, I'm going to be upset. If we get anything related to the Abysmal Mall or whatever it was called as a raid, that right there is going to tick me off. And sounds like Cuddles is looking up, who is Neptalon?
Who is Neptalon? I don't know.
Yeah.
And wow. Ooh, don't image search that.
Yep, I should have warned you about that. All right. Do you guys have any other note, anything like theories of note? I mean, I could... pull up this other page here and be like, hey, yeah, there's all these expansion ideas. Wow, the movie, the game.
Thanks again to Drevin, Charlotte, and Theory for being on the show. Let's dive into this week's podcast news. Bay from Final Boss decided that one big show wasn't enough this week, so he decided to do two in a single weekend. Back after locking in the Tier 18 Mythic Archimonde world first in Hellfire Citadel of Warlords of Draenor, Sko and Roger Brown from Method joined Bay alongside Sony to add some healer perspective to the world first race. There is definitely something that helps Method achieve these amazing kills. Find out just what exactly they thought of the latest race on episode 90 of Final Boss. But that's not all. Episode 91 has so many guests that Bay has to bring out the square table. I'm guessing the store was all out of round tables that, well, you know, actually... are there even any circular tables in World of Warcraft? Anyhow, this look back at Warlords of Draenor features content creators Alternative Chat, Kelric, Preach, Bellular, and Noble. It's a crazy couple of huge episodes, and you can find them both on iTunes, Stitcher, FinalBoss.tv, or YouTube.com/FinalBossWOW. This week on Girls Gone WoW, EJ and Raven talk to Fiona about all the many Warcraft novels and get a surprising amount of listener input, too. Find out what their favorite books are and whether they think Blizzard could do a better job of telling all the story of Warcraft in the game. Makes a break from the expansion hype train, doesn't it? Find the show at girlsgonewild.net or on Twitter at ggwshow. On episode 71 of Frozen Nerds, Epic and Kilroy issued a call to arms to their listeners and the community at large. What do video games mean to you? When playing a character, is that character more to you than pixels? Have video games ever helped you in ways you never thought possible? These are just a sample of some of the questions that were asked to many people, and you will hear their answers on episode 72 of Frozen Nerds, which can be found at frozennerds.com, and that's spelled with one N and two Z's. This weekend, while I was at work, plenty of nerds were having a blast in Utah at Nerdtacular 2015, where Chris Metzen, Russell Brower, and Randy Jordan appeared as guests on a very special episode of The Instance. You won't find any information on the next expansion here, but you will find one of the most insightful and entertaining episodes of The Instance in quite some time, in my opinion. Join Scott, Terpster, and Patrick as they talk to the trio from Blizzard on episode 420. I'm not going there. Which you can find in all the usual places. You can also find the video on YouTube by checking out Alpha Geek Media's channel. Group Quest sat down to talk about Gamescom announcements, the impending earnings call, the departure of a member of the community, and more in the episode titled With Perfect Hindsight Comes Armchair Warlording. Man, who comes up with these titles, Group Quest? And the show can be found at thegroupquest.com. It must have been DG. We may only know a third of the cards that are coming in the Grand Tournament, but that won't stop your favorite Hearthstone podcast from taking an early look at them. Bastidius, Arianwyn, and Espo talk about the previews and the new Inspire keyword on episode 55 of Legend of the Innkeeper. Follow the show on Twitter at LotiPodcast, that's L-O-T-I Podcast, and find the show at legendoftheinnkeeper.com. Katie and Eric are live for episode 114 of 30 Minute Cooldown, where they talk about reputations, the big announcement, and much more in a quick episode for your listening pleasure. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, and 30MinuteCooldown.com. On episode 128 of Horde for Life, the crew makes up for their MIA Blue Sky segment last week with a jam-packed show totaling over 2.5 hours for your listening pleasure. Flying in Draenor, Token Talk, and Mercenary Mode serve as appetizers before a Blue Sky discussion segment on alternative server ideas. And if you listen to the whole show, you will learn which Horde for Life member recently got his account suspended. The scandal! Find the show at hordeforlife.com. The Monkcraft podcast is back after a long break, and on episode 60, Golvin chats with resident salt miners Calligraphy and Hina Lover on how Hellfire Citadel has fared for the Windwalker monk. Topics include stats, trinkets, and recent buffs. Yep, even Windwalkers get buffs sometimes. Listen to the show at monkcraftpodcast.com. How well do the Proving Grounds prepare new tanks in the World of Warcraft? Ariel and Sunnier talk about the Proving Grounds in Warlords of Draenor on episode 24 of Tankcast. The show may be a little hard to find compared to most, but it's still definitely worth a listen. Head over to theincbear.com/podcastgen to check it out. And finally, congratulations to Looking for Roleplay, which celebrated its one-year anniversary with the release of episode 50 of the show. You'll hear highlights from the past year, surprise interviews, and much more, including montages, laughs, memories, and tears of joy and pain at every turn. Tarkanis, Turnwinkle, and Dravi even preview what is to come in the second year of the podcast. Find the show at lookingforroleplay.com. And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and swim through my vault of 999,999 gold pieces. The gold cap is finally real. If you'd like to support what I'm doing here, you can go to patreon.com/realmpodcast. Don't forget, you still have time to get your hands on the Realm Maintenance t-shirt, keychain, or necklace that shows off the new logo by supporting the show. And you can check the Patreon page for more details on that. As always, feel free to leave your comments about the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or at realm-maintenance.com. Realm-maintenance.com is also where to go to find the weekly podcast roundup or sign up for the RSS feed. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Realm Podcast or follow myself at Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Next week, there's only one way to welcome the hosts of BlizzPro's most recent Hearthstone podcast.
Well met.
Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2015, and is distributed by Signals Media. You can find this show and other great podcasts at signalsmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to Drevin, Charlotte, and Theory for being on the show this week. Thanks to everyone in the Blizzard podcast community for the retweets and for getting the word out about the show. And thanks to you for listening.
This podcast is a part of the Signals Media All-Star Network. For more information on this and other fine shows, go to signalsmedia.com. It's okay to stick our stuff in your ears. Really?